May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, I've been spending most of my time in the Word, not all of it, but most of it, in the book of Acts, because I'm using the book of Acts along with the Gospels, the life of Christ, as a plumb line to just be measured by. The Lord spoke a month or two ago that we were in a time where we weren't just studying the Word anymore, but that the Word was studying us and measuring our lives. And so that's not always the funnest thing in the world. The result is a wonderful harvest that brings a joy. But I think it's really important in this time. It's, God gave us a prophetic word yesterday that if we're going to know quantum leaps in the Spirit, it's going to have to result in a growth spurt. If we're not prepared for that, if we just want anointing for the anointing's sake, and it not result in a Christ-like character issue also. You know, we talk about the fact that you can't have either or, you should have both and. Well, those of us who are going after the anointing need to understand that too. We can't leave behind the character issues. Christ wants to be himself, not just the Jesus who ministers, or not just the Jesus who's holy, but the Jesus who's holy that ministers. That's what God's after. Amen? So I've just been spending some time in Acts 17. This is just a remarkable place in Scripture where Paul finds himself in Athens being delivered by God again, because every city Paul went to, he got persecuted and actually did get killed once. He was stoned to death, and then God just raised him up and he walked out of the city. But this is a place of a lot of philosophers. And there was one statement about, not in the Scriptures, but historically about Athens, is that there were more gods in Athens than there were people. And Paul talks about all these different idols he passed by and saw all over the place. And then he actually walked by one little god that you worship. It was called the Unknown God. And somebody put that just in case they hadn't covered all the rest of them by name. They wanted to make sure they got them all. And so Paul, instead of rebuking them, he said, I just observed in verse 22 that you are very religious in all respects. That's really amazing. That's the Holy Spirit. For Paul to say something that nice to somebody, that is the Holy Spirit. Then he says in verse 24, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, which we looked at a little bit last week in terms of love, that he loves us not because he needs us. Since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. Now I'm going to look at these scriptures probably most of the week, because there's some things that he's trying to say to us. He says, you even name one, the unknown God, and then he's really going to say to them, let me just say this to you, to the God that do you think is unknown, what he wants more than everything else is to be known by you. He is relational. And you're absolutely and utterly dependent on him. But I want to stop with this one thing again when he said, neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. I think sometimes the people come into Christianity and what they hear from the pulpit and from teachers are things that make them feel very useless, because they're told over and over again that what God's looking for are servants and what God's looking for are ministers. And therefore, you have something to offer God, and it can make you feel really inadequate, because so many people, if you're anything like me, when you come into the kingdom, you come an absolute total mess. And I really qualified for John 15, that apart from him, you could do nothing. I mean, I was a zero with the lid kicked off. And I felt so inadequate and so incapable of offering anything to God that it was very threatening. And then I watched other people, and again, education's wonderful. Christian education's wonderful. I've had a lot of it. God uses it to inform you and all those kind of things. But knowledge can also puff up. I see that in the the evangelical world and the evangelical charismatic world. And that we think that when we get some enough information, that we really have something to offer God. And people live the Christian life as if God is lost without them. He is absolutely in a position to where God is lost without them. And so they're trying really hard. They roll up their sleeves emotionally and do the best they can for God. But I loved what, I read a couple of things, what I just wrote in my Bible, that a preacher named John Piper, he's a Spirit-filled Baptist guy, actually. And he said, in light of this verse, neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. But he, since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And one of the things he was saying is, we treat Jesus coming like Jesus came and had a job fair or a ministry fair. You know what that is? So in the church, you know, they'll have this, they'll set up these tables and they'll give you, they'll be represent different ministries. And which one of these are you qualified for to sign up? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because we want to acknowledge what people's gifts are and for them to make themselves accessible. But understand what they are. They're gifts. You understand? If there's an area in your life where God can use you, it isn't because you are naturally equipped for that. It's because it was a gift. God gave it to you, though you didn't deserve it. And I love what Piper said. He said, Christianity, when Jesus came, Jesus didn't bring with him a help wanted sign. Jesus brought with him a help available sign. I love that. God is not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Jesus didn't come because he needs us. He came because we need him. And that's at the heart of what love is all about. You see, when you're in a place where you think that you need people's approval or whatever, you can't love them, because you live in fear that you might not get it. It's about your serving them. That's the heart of God. That's putting on the love of Jesus. It's about them. And I love this. So this means that Christianity and being used by God in Christianity has got nothing to do with whether you're so qualified and so stunning and such a good preacher and are such a good servant that somehow he needs you and you qualify to satisfy Jesus' help wanted sign. The whole thing was because you and I were desperately broken, fallen, morally, mentally, spiritually, in every way. The first time when God sent the flood, he said about the whole human race, and all their thoughts were only, remember the word he used? It's a terrible word. Evil continually. That's terrible. For all your thoughts were only evil continually. So he came to humanity because intellectually, mentally, morally, emotionally, relationally, we were broken human beings. And Jesus came because we were in desperate need for him. You know, when you come to services or come to Eucharist or whatever, he invites you first and foremost because he isn't the unknown God. Because in him we live and move and become. We become who we're meant to be. We become, discover who we really are. We'll talk about that another day. But secondly, because he knows that we never stop needing him. So if today you feel like you're ill-equipped, and you don't have much to offer, and that God can't really use you because you don't have it all together, because you're still struggling with stuff, let me just say this to you, that in your weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. You're just the person that Jesus can use, someone who knows they need him. Because he's not served by human hands. It says in Mark 10:45 that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to make himself a ransom for many. Let me read this one scripture and then I'll finish. I love this verse. I say that all the time, don't I? I love the verse. Comparing Hagar with Sarah. Hagar could produce children. And so Abraham took advantage of that and in the flesh was productive for God. Sarah was too old and barren, and so she had nothing at all to offer. The only thing that she had going for her was a promise. Hagar produced children not by promise, it wasn't supernatural, but by human effort. And so in comparing these two, it says now in verse 25 of Galatians 4, now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, which is where the law is given, corresponding to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children to this day. But the Jerusalem above, which is comparison to Sarah, she is our mother, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman, not fruitful woman, but rejoice, barren woman, who does not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, because it wouldn't help. You can't produce. You're in total, absolute need. For more are the children of the desolate than of the one who has a husband. It said in verse 23, but the son of the bondwoman, Hagar, was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman, Sarah, was born through the promise. You know why God can use us today? It's because He's promised. He's promised us the Holy Spirit. He's promised us His ability. He's promised us that He would be with us to the end of the age. It's not because you have anything to offer to God other than your brokenness. But that's all He's asked of you. Your need, your brokenness, your desolation. And you, brethren, are like Isaac, or children of the promise, but at the same time he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, and that'll always be so. I don't know if you know this, but Christians don't like for Christians to walk in faith. Christians don't like for Christians to depend on God. It irritates them. But it causes his heart to beat faster. This is why we say, Scripture makes it very clear, there's only one person who can live the Christian life, and his name is Jesus. He came to you not just to put a banner over you that says love and cheer you on. He came to you because you're in desperate need of him from the beginning, his death for you, in the middle, his life in you, all the way through. And he's not stunned or shamed or offended that you need him. He likes it that way. The Christian life isn't hard. It's impossible. That's his setup that destroys the enemy. For in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. But in your strength, he can't do really much in you. And all you'll do is try to produce the Christian life in the flesh. And the fruit of that becomes obvious. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.